This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Be our vision, Lord. Help us see your glory all around. Amen. So there's this word that we use in everyday language, and especially in church, and it's glory. We don't really think about that word too much, but some of the common phrases might be, the Baltimore Ravens were in their glory as they held up their Super Bowl trophy and passed it around. Or, she stood there in all her glory, having been crowned the Queen of England. You wouldn't just say that about any old occurrence. You might say, we had a glorious afternoon. And that wouldn't be just a mediocre afternoon. That would be an over-the-top, amazing experience. In church, we say, glory be to God in the highest. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Somebody who's humble, that did a lot of good for other people, might say, I did it all for the glory of God. The glory of God. And this word glory transcends all throughout Scripture. Thousands of years ago, when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and he came down from the mountain, the people saw that his face was shining because he had been talking with God. He had seen the glory of God, and he was changed. He was shining. He was glowing. And in our gospel today, when Jesus took the three disciples, Peter and James and John, up on that mountaintop to pray, little did they know, but that he, when he was praying, Jesus' face changed. Doesn't say how it changed, but it does say that his clothes became dazzling white. Not just white, but dazzling. And if that wasn't enough to get their attention and to put them in awe and fear and trembling, all of a sudden these two guys appear, which these young Jewish men would have really revered as heroes from the past. Moses appears, and then Elijah, right? And they were terrified. And so Peter, like all of us, wanted to hold on to the holy. And he said, well, I'll just make a house so you can stay, so that we can just hold on to this moment. I'll make a house for Peter, and we'll make one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus. Not realizing he couldn't contain the holy. He couldn't contain the glory. It's not to be contained. It's beyond containment. And it connects us with something greater than ourselves when we experience it. I haven't quite experienced seeing Jesus praying on a mountain with Moses and Elijah appearing, and I would imagine that you haven't either. But if we think about it, we all get tastes of glory in everyday life, once in a while. Once in a while. And it's usually when we have intense experiences with love. So, for instance, the very first time you fell in love, that feeling where you say, I wish I could hold on to this moment forever. Think about that. If you've ever been in love, the beginning of it. And then maybe later in life when you realize the value and the deepness of the evolution of a relationship in just a moment, and you get a snippet of a touch between heaven and earth. Or maybe it's when you see a newborn baby for the first time of a loved one or a friend, or maybe you're holding your own newborn baby for the first time. You get a touch of glory. Or maybe It's when you were able to hold someone's hand that was dying, and you were able to be there as they took their last breath. And in that sacred moment of what's called a good death, you get a touch of something beyond yourselves. I would venture to say also that we all have experienced, maybe not all the time, but once in a while, just out of the blue, getting a euphoric feeling. And maybe it's fleeting. Maybe it just comes while you're driving down the road and you have a feeling of being in touch with all of creation. And you wish that you could hold on to that feeling. The Irish poet Yeats described it like this, these everyday moments of glory. He writes, "My 50th year had come and gone. I sat, a solitary man, in a crowded London shop. An open book, an empty cup, a marble tabletop. While on the shop and street I gazed, my body of a sudden blazed, and for 20 minutes, more or less, it seemed so great, my happiness, that I was blessed, and I could bless." It's just that fleeting thing. We can't describe or contain glory, or the feelings of glory. And we get these little tiny snippets, just these little tiny snippets. I experienced it last night when I went to Home Depot and I looked to the west and that golden sky and the palm trees. It was just amazing. And it was just this moment. Then I had to get into Home Depot, but it was just that minute. And if we begin to notice the glory all around. And it seems that this glory is frequently associated with light. When I was teaching in the preschool here, and it was preschool through eighth grade, and I, as the chaplain, I had a kindergarten class once that came in, and I had them draw pictures of what Easter meant to them. And so I got the usual Easter bunnies and eggs and a cross. And one little girl, though, Lauren, I'll never forget this, she brought her picture up to me. And on it were just all these beautiful pastels. And at the top was this spritz of light, like just lines coming out like that. And I said, "Well, Lauren, tell me about this painting. Tell me about this." And she said, "Well, that's Jesus." She said, "That's Jesus." And I just felt like goosebumps all of a sudden. She tapped into something the way little tiny children can do if we listen to them. They're profoundly in touch, closer somehow to those thin places. Another story, Margaret Margolis, that some of you remember, that used to work here, had children, and she was in her van driving down the road one day, and her daughter Mary, who at the time was only about 4 years old, was in the van, and they were all playing and joking around and laughing and you know, just getting real crazy. And Mary said something particularly funny and crazy, and Margaret said, she said, "Oh, you crazy thing, where did you come from?" And she said, all of a sudden, she looked in the rearview mirror and Mary's face just changed. She said, "Well, Mom, I came from everywhere." Margaret said, "Okay, I came from everywhere." Now, how does a four-year-old get that? I don't know. So this glory is this mysterious thing that happens. And when we notice it and we pray with it, our hearts kind of open to it. I'll tell you one more story, and I tell it because now it brings me such deep peace. And it was such an amazing experience. All of you know that my daughter Katie died 9 years ago, and we had this big, big funeral here, and it was packed. The place was just packed. And we had decided to come at the very last minute for obvious reasons, and that we had planned that when everybody came in, they would get a candle, and they would come to the front and place it in, the altar was different, but they could come up the steps and place it in sand as they were coming in while the music was playing. Well, by the time we got here, the candles were long gone, and that flame, the candles had melted down and had become one huge fire. So when I got here, I had forgotten about the candles, and I thought, man, that's awesome that they did that for Katie. And little did I know, it was just this thing that happened. And the flame was so huge, it comforted me in a way that to this day comforts me. To this day brings me deep peace. And it was a message from the Holy Spirit for me, and nobody can deny it. Nobody. They could try. The flame was so big that my brother was about to jump over with a fire extinguisher. He was so worried about it. And Dee Zladek was doing the same thing. These moments, even in our agony, come forth and are there to help us and to guide us. And yet, these little glimpses are nothing compared to the glory that is promised to us one day, when we are completely in touch with the mystery and that realm that is beyond, and we lay our burdens down, as we'll sing later. Thing, though, about this day that we call transfiguration because of Jesus being changed in appearance, the thing about it is that they couldn't stay on the mountaintop. The experience that they had lasted on the mountaintop. They wanted to hold on to that holiness, and then they came down from the mountain, and the first thing Jesus did was heal somebody. Filled with light, he healed somebody. And then began the long walk to the cross. And to his glory. So Transfiguration Sunday today marks the turning point. Everything from now forward is our walk to the cross with Christ and to the resurrection and his glory. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday. And I invite you to a holy Lent. I challenge you, even if you have a daily prayer time, even if you have a regular discipline, I challenge you to do one thing that's a little bit different, that helps you notice the glory, that helps you deepen your awareness of the glory of God. If you don't have a time in the morning where you get up a little early, even 5 minutes, light a candle, sit in the silence, read the Bible, take a regular walk in nature by yourself. Sit with the glory of the Lord. My prayer for you this day, my prayer for you for Lent and our journey together, is that you would realize how you shine. Each and every one of you, how we all shine in our own way. It's there. Even no matter what you are going through in your life, we have the ability to marvel at something. Even if it's somebody coming to an invalid's bed with a smile. And it expands our awareness, and it expands our hope, and it expands our glory. And then we can empty ourselves and give to others and help to transform and transfigure this world to the kingdom of God. Amen.